Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this safety. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about episode 3 of season 11 of the Masked Singer, aka the introduction to Group C, aka Billy Joel Knight on the Masked Singer. I'm, of course, your host, Puya the Rock Zanvakili, ready to break things down. And with me, as always, is my co-host, my co-pilot. It's Liana the Roll Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing well. But when you said, are you like roll? Do you mean like a bread roll?
No, I mean like it's still rock and roll to me.
Oh, okay.
That's Billy Joel, right?
Yeah.
I nailed it. Look at me. I'm the rock. You're the roll. It's still rock and roll to me.
Yes. So I was going to tell a story about when I was in high school and I took this cooking class. Like my high school offered it was a home ec class, but it was a cooking class. And we made bread rolls and I brought one of my bread rolls home and my mom put it in the freezer and she had it for like 10 years until they finally moved. Like she kept the bread roll.
What, she discarded it now?
I don't think she has it anymore. I know it made a couple moves, I think, and then eventually got thrown out. I don't know why she kept it in the first place. It's like a 10-year-old bread roll. Like no one's going to eat that.
That's very much my behavior though. I would keep something like that for sentimental value for way too long as well.
Yes, you would. Cuz I know how hard it is to try to get rid of things in this house. So you're like, "But my mom one time bought it for me." And I'm like, "I don't care. The towel's falling apart. We're getting rid of it."
Okay, I don't know why we have to air literal dirty laundry right now. Like you got specific. You didn't have to go specific on me.
I'm just, for instance, for example, I'm just, you know, say hypothetically, like that's
weren't
not based
you
in
happy
fact or anything.
When you tried to get rid of your lacrosse uniform from when you were in high school, and I said I'd get rid of it, but I hid it and kept it for you. That was great.
Yeah, and then I got rid of it.
That's not a thing to be proud of. I'm proud of who I am.
It wasn't that. They were running pants. And the reason why I wanted to get rid of them is because they didn't have any elastic in the waist anymore. So they just fell off.
Keep wearing it. You can still hold on to it.
I hold on to a pair of pants that I'm not going to wear. Like, what am I going to do? Like, hang them on the wall and remember that time I ran a half marathon?
You, based on how much you talk about it, it's like you're never going to let any of us forget you ran a half marathon. So
that's the thing to do. That's what I hear.
If like someone goes, yeah, if someone goes on and has a half marathon and they don't tell you, did they actually do it? The answer is probably no, based on how many people tell you.
I ran two. So
okay.
And it was such a mistake. What was I even thinking? Running is exhausting.
Would you tell people that you ran two half marathons or that you ran a marathon and won't elaborate that it was two half?
That's smarter. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I should be like, oh yeah. No. Yeah, I've run a marathon total distance.
I would say I've ran marathons because it's technically two and there's technically half, but
yeah, they just have halvies.
Yeah. Like if you had ate lunch and you ate half of your lunch, you'd still say you had lunch. You wouldn't say you had half a lunch.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's a good point. We should start doing that for everything though. Right.
Like what?
That I don't know. My brain totally blanked on another example. But you know, where it's like it's happening, you know, like, okay, I regret actually saying that, because the next example I thought of is like, oh, I cleaned the bathroom, even though I only clean half the bathroom, which, you know. Anyway, moving on.
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
that's a move you've pulled where you're like, I've cleaned the bathroom, but you didn't clean the shower.
Yeah, but I cleaned the bathroom area, not the showering area.
The shower is within the bathroom.
Yeah, but I meant to say I cleaned the toilet.
Did you just clean the toilet?
No, growing up, when I called something the bathroom, I always referred to the toilet, because you're never saying, I'm going to go to the bathroom to shower. You say you're going to go to the bathroom, and the implied instance there is that you're going to use the toilet.
Well, it's also implied you're going to wash your hands. So I hope the sink is also included.
Yeah, but the sink has always kind of been like the third, like the one no one cares about. As in, yes, it gets used, but it's never celebrated or referenced or, you know, given credit.
I guess it's never explicitly stated, like, I'm going to go to use the toilet and wash my hands.
It's like the lettuce in a hamburger. Like, it's there. Yes, you ate lettuce, but you're never saying you ate the lettuce. It just happened.
But what if it's wrapped in lettuce?
I still don't think you celebrate it. At that point, it's like, oh, good for you, lettuce. You were strong enough to become the bun for once. Like, yeah. I don't think
you got to have a lot of lettuce, though. That's the issue. I mean, you know, it's not that bad, because if you think about it, like a bun, like holding a big bun. But if you've got, ooh, a big bun. But you got to have like a big chunk of lettuce, you know?
Yeah, I've never really thought about how many lettuce leaves go into lettuce wrapping.
Yeah. You know what they should do? They should take a whole iceberg lettuce, cut it in half, put a burger on the inside, and then... Can you imagine? That's so much fiber. I'd love that. Har, 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 har.
Only you would be for that, Liana. No one else in the history of the world would want that. Yeah. Also, I'm looking at the runtime here. We're 6 minutes in, and we haven't even talked about the Masked Singer yet.
You made a Billy Joel reference.
I did. It's still rock and roll to me.
Yeah, that's about as far as we've gotten. Okay, all right. Masked Singer time. Baby, let's do it.
All right, yeah. So it is, of course, Billy Joel o'clock here on The Masked Singer. And overarching thoughts, Liana. You're a big Billy Joel fan. How was the Billy Joel performances? Did it tickle the Billy Joel fancy?
Yeah, I mean, I like Billy Joel's music. I think that he makes good music. I wouldn't say that I'm as big of a Billy Joel fan as, like, you know, Rob or Nicole, but I do enjoy it. I think that there were a lot of really fun songs. I was hoping that someone would sing We Didn't Start the Fire, just because I thought that would have been fun and quite challenging. But overall, I was really happy with the songs that they chose. We get to talk about Piano Man, which I'm excited about. And generally, Billy Joel aside, this group was 10 out of 10 outstanding.
Yeah, is it time to say that season 11 may be the most talented group we've had in a while? And I don't mean group by group C. I mean just after last overall. Week and this week, overall, this might be a Titan season, Liana.
Well, the Afghan Hound was horrible. The book was horrible. But outside of that, I mean,
well, the book was a gimmick.
I would say like Starfish and Lovebird were like cute, but not my favorite. But other than that, because I made my draft board in preparation for today, everybody else I could genuinely see winning.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly where I am as well, where I think there's a lot more contenders this time around than before. Whereas, you know, I think looking at most of the drafts we've done, typically within the first three picks, we've got the winner off the board.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe Queen of Hearts that I got late. In one of the drafts we did, but otherwise I feel like more often than not, you know who the winner is going to be. So The fact that we don't in this group, I do love quite a bit.
Or at least like you have an idea of who the top person from each group, like group A, group B, group C, you know who the group winner is going to be. You're not sure how they're going to stack up against one another. Whereas here I'm looking and I think Goldfish, I think Ugly Sweater, both of them could win group A. I think genuinely anyone in group B could win group B, and I think anyone left in group C could win group C, and we haven't even seen the wild cards yet. So unless the wild cards are garbage, like, we already have, there was 8 contenders, which is wild.
It really is, and I'm intrigued to see where we go from here. Because next week we're going to be doing TV theme night. And I believe we're going to continue on with Group C.
We're sticking with Group C for TV theme night.
Are we going back? Or is it kind of like a snake draft where now it's them, then we go to Group B, then Group A?
Okay, yeah, that's fine for me.
I'd be okay with that.
All right. It's different. It's new.
Yeah, well, speaking of something that's different and new, our first costume of the night is something by the name of Poodle Moth. And I don't know why, because obviously poodle and moth, you put them together, you get poodle moth. But poodle is a dog. So I thought maybe this is going to be more dog than moth, but it turned out to be more moth than dog.
Yes. So turns out the poodle moth is a thing. It's called the Venezuelan poodle moth. So shout out to Laura. I hope I'm saying your name right, Laura Beth. So she sent an article about the Venezuelan poodle moth. So apparently it was only found once and was not sampled. It was discovered in 2009 in Venezuela, said to resemble a poodle, if poodles had big wings and feathers instead of ears. But yeah, there's like a single photo of this moth. And that's
it. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I love it because there's like some, in this article, there's some Venezuelan poodle moth facts. And for the diet, it just says plants. Like plants, probably. I don't know.
No, so see, really I found funny. A photo of the poodle moth as well that I'm going to share with you right now.
Well, it should only be okay. Yeah, so that's AI because that's a dog that looks like a centipede. So yeah, in our. How does AI create or identification of AI images? That one, AI. But yeah, it was unique. It was certainly not expected.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of cute. It was honestly a behemoth of a costume.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And I liked it. I actually liked this costume quite a bit. Do you want to dive into the clue packages for this one?
Okay, so first of all, they say on the onset of the clue package, only one has ever been found in the world. But then that parlays into, well, being discovered once is all you need. So the poodle moth talks about being drawn to the bright light, but never felt like it was meant for her, never felt like she was pretty enough, etc. So she took a step back to help others achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. Then eventually ended up taking the leap and got discovered. And then there were a few visual clues. So we got a hat visual clue, like a cowboy hat, an American flag on a notebook, the candle lanterns. And then I think Ken brings this up, but he says six candles. I didn't know if that was like an actual specific reference to something because I'd actually missed it the first time I watched the clue package.
Same. Yeah, I feel like the things that stuck out to me obviously was the cowboy hat. And the most biggest clue was the American notebook or the notebook with the American flag on it. So I'm immediately thinking something American story. If there's an American story or a movie called the American story or an album called the American story, and it could have like an added word in between, that could be interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what that would be. The cowboy hat. And I feel like they mentioned the Opry in Nashville were like the two clues that does lead country,
mm-hmm.
which then makes me feel like I'm disqualified from discovering who this is on my own.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I agree that I was, as you mentioned with those clues, it's coming across country. I think that the other thing that stood out to me was the, like a songwriter, like that's what I was getting in terms Ooh. Of helped others achieve their dreams. I was like, oh, maybe this is someone who was writing songs for a long time. But so that was sort of how they were like functioning behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't think of it that way at all. But I would like to, you know, they taking a step back to let others lead also. I feel like does the like songwriter does fit there or some kind of coaching could also fit there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means because like you know how on some of these singing shows you can have one of these artists come in and they're a coach for like an mm-hmm. episode. So maybe it's something like that. It's like a nod to that. I don't know. But I will say Poodle Moth begins singing. It's ballad. It's Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. And immediately, I thought contender to win the whole thing. Immediately. Yeah. Great voice, yeah. Great presence, took command of the entire stage. And just kind of for a fleeting second, I forgot this was the first time we're hearing them. And I forgot mm-hmm. that we're not even out of the group stages yet.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It. I mean, you know, I always expect like the first performer to be standout, but this was someone that my immediate reaction. So she does Just the Way You Are, which is funny. It's so in my notes, I write down the song that they sing. So I remember. And here I wrote down Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. Like they're not all by Billy Joel. Anyway, it was like, oh, she's a good singer. And then it's just her on stage, chilling, singing, the tone of her voice. Her vocal range, like it was a deeper vocal range, at least for what we were getting here. It really just was so outstanding.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that when we do our draft at the end of this episode, Poodle Moth is going to be picked up really, really early.
Honestly, I don't even know because like I thought everybody this episode did so good.
Oh, for sure. Like this was an episode where, again, the SmackDown didn't like... I guess was probably the most needed to split it, but to imply that the bottom two were bad is very incorrect.
Yeah, no, I know because neither of them were bad. Even the person that went home, like even in the both the performance and the SmackDown, neither of them were bad. Like they all did so good. I can't believe I'm saying this because usually there's one. I don't want to say sacrificial lamb, but I mean, I'm going to say should. It. Yeah, it always feels like there's one person who, even if they're good, they're like okay good, not like good. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of what we ended up with here, just elevated.
Very much elevated. So the clue was the Opry, but it was on a baseball. So do we think the baseball part is also a clue, or is Billy Joel related to baseball in some way?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe what was the song that was playing? I don't know. I don't remember.
No, the song clue was the one after this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like in the background. I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know.
I don't know.
No.
Okay. So then we get some of the guesses from the judges. We got Trisha Yearwood. We got Winona Judd. We got Rita Wilson. Do any of them stick out to you?
I no.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, Trisha Yearwood would be fun. I mean, that'd all be fun. My first thought was, I was like, who's the song? I was stuck on the whole songwriter thing. So I was trying to think of people who have been like really good songwriters or people in country music that I know have done a lot of writing songs, whatever. And none of them, I feel like, matched the voice. So I felt a little bit out of sorts with that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like I said, I don't think I'm going to know who this is, but thankfully looks like we're going to have plenty of time and plenty of clues from Poodle Moth. So maybe I can figure her out later.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like one of the people I was thinking of was like, okay, so Kacey Musgraves wrote a lot. Like she wrote a lot for Miranda Lambert and stuff like that. So her name first popped into my head, but just the song and the vibe and the age, I don't think match. So then I just kept like, yeah, I don't know. It's a long, long way to say, I don't know.
All right. Bing bong. It's time for the clock. It's clock o'clock. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here comes the clock, Liana. And they immediately say they're getting diva vibes from the clock, which I thought, okay. We do hear that the clock is delighted to be here. They are timeless. We see a disco ball. We see them holding a baby, which I didn't know if that was part of the clues. We also saw Frozen in Time with the clock freezing over. And they said that they got massive success on their own terms, and they performed for a president. We also saw them standing in front of a globe that was golden, so Golden Globe. Mm. What are your thoughts on the clock?
Okay, so overall... What?
You came in with that I know who this is energy.
No, but I felt like, okay, this to me is someone who is truly like a household name icon kind of person. The fact that it's someone who says they're timeless, they perform for the president, they've reinvented themselves. Like, this is someone who has had so much success, I think, throughout their life. Now, where do I go from there? That's the problem. Because I think the issue with people who are truly icons like this is they've done so many things in their life and have been so successful. So unless I can kind of like immediately get it from The Voice, then I mean, I'm in a deep place where it's trying to figure out. Because again, if we go on, okay, who's got Golden Globe awards? Like all the icons have Golden Globe awards. So that's not actually particularly helpful.
Yeah.
So I'm batting a 0.0 at this point for this group, just based on the fact that I can't identify any of the voices. And to me, the clues are not specific enough to actually give me a place to like dig my teeth into.
Yeah, it's very tough being a pundit on the Masked Singer podcast, because either we come in and with chest, we know who it is, or we are in the dark until they're revealed. There's really no in between, I feel like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there have been some times where we've sort of been able to, between the two of us, like eventually get there.
Mm-hmm.
But those feel far and few and far between. Far and few between.
Few and far in between.
Few and far between. This is like Banu with gotta hold them, gotta fold them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious if we can end up figuring this out, because I think the disco ball has to be something. Just has to be. Don't know what, but it has to be.
I feel like okay, so if I were to really try to dig into this, the disco ball and the performing for the president, like those are the things that really start to stand out to me in terms of, okay, what are sort of like the clues that can maybe help narrow down a little bit better. But again, we're talking about, in my opinion, like an actor, an actress singer. Not a singer, actress, potentially. Or both. Okay. I don't know.
Or
Broadway,
both.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll listen. We'll find out in the future, because also the clock blew it out the water. I did think, you know, if I had to split hairs and rank them, I still felt like Poodle Moth was the better performer, but I really, really was blown away by the clock, because typically once you get a really good performer first, I'm expecting a dud to follow. And I'm waiting for the dud. And I was like, oh, no, Clock is definitely not the dud at all.
Yeah, right. And I will say also about this particular performance. Okay, so first of all, well, sorry, there's like 1,000 thoughts in my head. So one, Billy Joel, Piano Man. So I'm sure we've told this story before, but remember that time when we were in Montreal and there was the guy, the busker who was playing, and he was playing Piano Man, but he's doing it really weird, where it was like, Piano Man.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Okay, yeah, so that happened. So I was like kind of laughing the whole time, because now whenever I hear the song Piano Man, that's all I can think about. So that's point number one. Point number two is I loved the staging. It was so cool with all the lights hanging, and obviously I know it's a really big stage, but it just gave the vibe of feeling so intimate. Like you're in this like very small piano jazz club. Like I can see myself sitting there. It just, yeah, it was really cool with all the close camera angles and being able to really frame. It was actually kind of weird to see the shots from far away with all the lights just sort of hanging around her. But when you got in really close with those camera angles, I really liked the vibe. She's such a powerhouse. Just going for it. Love that.
I felt the same way, you know. I really, really loved the performance. The lighting was a great touch as well to the stage. And it was something unique, something different than I feel like what we get with some of these other performers. Mm-hmm. And I was very into it.
Yeah. And it also felt like with a lot of the costumes, with maybe the exception, well, certainly for the Moth and the Clock, like the Clock, that was such a fancy costume. It looks top tier. Like that's another reason why I feel like this is someone who's a true icon, because they put in a lot of work into her costume. They did not put in work into the Afghan Hounds costume.
No.
They put in all that extra work that they should have spent on Afghans. They put it in here because this it's like so detailed and it's gorgeous. Like I don't even care about the Clock as a costume, but I just love how gorgeous it is.
Well, I will say, speaking of Afghan Hound real quick, we did get, shout out to the listeners, I can confirm, Liana, that a lot more of our listeners were aware of what was going on, and definitely this was happening around us and we were just not aware of the Chrisleys.
Ah, okay. So it's us then.
It was us. Now, I will say the clock's face, the costume's face, the time on the clock is 12:05. Do we think that means anything?
Okay. So I was also looking at all the clocks in the background as well, because I was like, oh, maybe there's a pattern here. They felt like those were all different. So I don't know if this, like the time on her face actually means something, because she also has that second clock on her chest. And I think that that clock is like 8:05 or something like that. So 12:05, 8:05.
Well, 8:05 would be 2005.
2005.
You want to go, 24-hour clock rules, it would be 2005. So 2005 could be a significant date for this performer.
Or maybe it's like 125 and then 8:05. I don't know. Again, it's not, I don't know. Okay. I feel like I'm too far from it. I will make it fit though when we get closer.
I do not doubt that.
No.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to have ourselves a meal with spaghetti and meatballs. Stay with us. All right, Liana. So here we are with spaghetti and meatballs. Pretty much arguably one of the most bizarre costumes we've ever had on the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs.
Are you okay? What's going on?
Sorry, I was thinking, did we talk about the fact that the clue package for the clock, I don't want to jump back, but like the clue package for the clock,
it was a
Diana,
song. It was,
all about,
yeah.
Yeah, and it was all about seizing the day and actually have a date in her name. Like that was the clue.
Yeah.
So I was really confused by that. Did that mean like her name is June or April or something like that? Or do you think her, like, is her name February 2nd, 2021. Like, obviously it's not that, but like, what does it mean? I have a date in her name. Like a fruit?
I feel like there's people who have had days honorarily named after them.
Okay. So that's what I didn't know. If it was like President's Day, right? It's like, no. Oh, it's clock day, or it's the date is actually in her name, not in her name.
I don't think it's like someone's named Easter, you know? Yeah. I don't think it's that. I think it's more so like, you know, in a community, city, town, they're like, all right, and now this day henceforth is known as Liana Boris Day.
Yeah. Okay. That took me way too long to figure out. I got it when I was watching the episode, but it took me a long time. I was fixated on like her name was April because she has a date in her name.
But also April's a month, not a day.
Yeah, well, you know, same vibe. Like maybe she's called April 10th and that's her name. Like her last name is 10th.
Of course, April 10th. Yes.
You know, April 10th. Classic last name. Okay, sorry. We can move on to the spaghetti and the meatballs now.
Okay, well, let's go back to the spaghetti and meatballs because so to describe this for anyone who's not checked out the photo of the spaghetti and meatballs, it is not a trio, it is one person. And their face, the meatballs are the eyes, and the spaghetti's the head, but the spaghetti's shaped like a mustache, almost. Spaghetti mustache with meatball eyes.
Yeah, that was weird. I think what was also weird is it was giving chef, but it was also giving mad scientist. Maybe that's my own personal lens that I'm looking at this with. But I was thinking it's kind of like a mad scientist food flying spaghetti monster chef thing.
Mad scientist food something spaghetti chef thing. Yes.
Yeah. And also, I love that the judges were, who is it that was like meat eyes? He's got meat eyes. That was really funny. I enjoyed the judges talking about the costume because I agree. It is very wacky. We noticed. The judges noticed.
Exactly.
Very bizarre.
Yeah, and also the in the clue package, Spaghetti and Meatballs is talking with the worst fake Italian accent I've ever heard in my life. And my favorite part of this was the pan over to Ken, who's like, I don't know about you guys, but this sounds like an accurate Italian accent to me.
Yeah, exactly. That was really funny. I don't know. Maybe he was giving kind of comedian like comedy vibes because they were willing to go on in ragging on him a bit, but like in a cute way, like a playful way, like banter.
What was funny to me is that they all leaned into this as a chef, a celebrity chef, and I just didn't see it that way. I was very ready to think, oh God, this is someone from like the Jersey Shore. Because they got their start on Wall Street. There was a car. We saw salt and pepper shakers in the clue package. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And they kept saying comedian. And I just felt like, okay, I feel like this is someone who is not going to be so on the nose. Turns out it was exactly on the nose and I was wrong.
Yeah. When he first came out, actually, you know how when he came out, there were those flames on the side of the walkway?
Yes.
And then I saw his outfit and I was like, haha, Guy Fieri. And then we get Jenny guessing Guy Fieri later on, which really made me gag. But I was getting race car driver. And I understand that's so bait because literally in the clue package, there was a race car. Like it talked about how he wore many hats. And I was like, well, race car drivers wear like helmets. I was like, wear as many hats. And then he raced after the dough. That sounds like he's racing for like a prize pot that you win through doing race car driving things.
Especially if and there then, was like Formula One in Qatar, I'd be like Doha race.
Yeah, Doha race. Exactly. I love that. See, that's what I was thinking. And then the other thing I was thinking was the salt and pepper shakers. I don't know why, but the first thing I thought of was Ricky Bobby. Did I ever make you watch The Ballad of Ricky Bobby?
No.
Ugh. Okay. So there's a shake and bake reference. And for some reason,
Salt
and pepper made me think of that. I don't know why. So again, and that's probably because I was primed because I was already thinking of the race car. So I was really fixated on this being like a NASCAR driver, some kind of racing car driver. So I was similarly confused when they started talking about the, like just chefs, like they were just listing chefs essentially, I guess, except for Stanley Tucci. Mm-hmm. But the other part that was confusing was the clue after the performance, which was a pizza that said Showtime. And then I thought maybe it was someone who was at Showtime Pizza. But I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like the what? They were an animatronic at Showtime Pizza. Showtime Pizza. It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant called Showtime Pizza.
Yeah, Showbiz Pizza Palace.
It's Showbiz. It's not even Showtime.
Okay, well, I have Showtime. Just leave my brain alone.
Well, it was wrong.
I'm feeling very attacked.
On the wiki, there's a photo, and it says, a child speaking with Billy Bob at Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah, maybe it's just a joke from News AF that's Showtime Pizza. But yeah, Showbiz Pizza. Because they had that really creepy, like, animatronic, kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's vibe.
And they're like all, you know.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, they get all broken down and they're just like really sad.
Also, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's been defunct since the mid-90s and it merged into Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it like rebranded as Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh.
Who would have thought? I feel like Showbiz Pizza is a better name than Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is like, who wants to eat? Like, it's a rat that eats pizza, I guess. I don't know. It's complicated.
Like, for kids, Chuck E. Cheese is a more fun thing to say than Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah, that's true.
Although the marketing of that's just Showbiz is kind of right there. Well, that's Chuck E. Cheese for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So, Showbiz Pizza aside, what did I miss from the clue package?
Nothing really. They start on Wall Street. Everything else we already got. And they perform. And I thought it was not bad. I felt like as of this moment, they're probably the candidate to leave. But I didn't think that it was a bad performance at all from where I was standing. If anything, this was the first bit of razzle dazzle we got on the night, which I was very much okay with.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is a basic bitch take or not, but Only the Good Die Young is, I think, one of my favorite Billy Joel songs. So for me, I was vibing, having a great time. So I didn't think that he was going to be sent home because I thought he did a good job, or maybe I was just enjoying the song. Also, the other thing about his performance, and I've been trying to pay attention to this a lot more when I watch the performances, but is to hear background vocals. Like, how much backing vocals are the singers getting? Because the ones that do really bad obviously get more backing vocals. And he didn't have a lot, if any. So I thought, oh, okay, this is like, he's like really good. So I was optimistic, but then I heard Lizard, and then I was like, well, I think it's got to be Spaghetti and Meatballs and Lizard just by process of elimination. But at the time when I was listening to the song, it didn't come across like, oh yeah, he's definitely going to be in the bottom.
Yeah. Well, I will say, moving forward, this is a big clue for people. If the performer starts like hitting on one of the judges, assume they're going to be in the bottom two. I feel like typically when they get there, I'm like, okay, all right, this is your attempt at razzle dazzling, and it can fall flat.
Yeah, okay. Because he did. Didn't he bring Rita a menu? Yes. Oh, yeah, Gumball also brought her like the Gumball thing and then was in the bottom. So maybe yep. There is some logic to this. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I basically think if you're doing that, then... So yeah. Well, that being said, this was a good performance ultimately, all things included. And the guesses were all, we had Gordon Ramsay, Guy Fieri, and Stanley Tucci. Okay. No one guesses correctly here, but we'll get to that later. And then we had The Lizard. So The Lizard was a confusing one to me because I felt like all the promotion for it, but you know how in the lead up when they're building up who the next performer is, I feel like they made it seem like this was race car themed, and then it was a lizard. But also the lizard is dressed like a Formula One driver in a way. So I was like, Okay, are you a lizard or are you a car? Like, which one is it?
Okay, this also got me very confused because, again, I was still prime thinking about the race car driver from Spaghetti and Meatballs. So the lizard showed up in the race car outfit. I was like, what is happening? I felt like putting on my tinfoil hat and expecting there to be some kind of conspiracy theory with race car drivers going on. I don't know why, but it didn't seem to genuinely have anything to do with race car driving. I don't think that they are a race car driver at all. I think there's just, for some reason, the lizard, like maybe this is someone that in their spare time likes racing motorcycles or something like that. But I certainly don't think that this is their profession because they were really good.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. You and I, do you want to talk about the clue packages here?
Yeah. Okay. So the narrative was about, some people label him as a ladies' man, like a bad boy type. But then despite some of his better known hits, which also sounds like then his top music is kind of like, you know, ladies' manny vibe. He says that people see who he is on the inside. He met the love of his life, but then she was sick of his ways. So he lied and said she was pregnant. It turns out she was pregnant. That sounds like a Dr. Phil episode. So I didn't understand that at all. But then anyway, so I guess the wife who wanted to leave him, who he just sort of manifested her pregnancy, she has the kid, I assume. And so now his world is all about being a good husband and a good dad. And also this is his family's favorite show. So it feels like, okay, I'm going on this like for my family. And then there were some visual clues, including a crab on a cupcake, a Christmas ornament with a lizard on it. And then there was a race car bed that he put his little egg in. But that was more about the story about being a good husband and father. So I don't know if that actually means anything. Like, this isn't Ludwig. You know what I mean?
Right. No, definitely not. So what's interesting to me, and I've not really done the investigative work here to get there, but I, too, similar to the judges, I feel like during the SmackDown, I think I could have figured out who this is off voice specifically.
Ooh, okay. Let's hear it.
Okay. So it was during the SmackDown, because the SmackDown comes down to Spaghetti and Meatballs and Lizard. And Spaghetti and Meatballs goes first, and it was a good performance. And then I felt like the Lizard was singing for their life. And they hit notes that I've definitely heard before. And I think, Liana, and I think very much, this person could have been responsible for a song known as the thong song. I think this is Cisco.
Cisco! Thong, 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 thong.
Yeah, I think this could be Cisco.
Well, that would fit with this sort of like bad boy vibes.
Mm-hmm. You know? And the clue was Billboard.
Okay.
Number one Billboard. Mm-hmm. I think Thong Song was number one on the Billboard.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. We can take a quick little peeksy looksy and see.
Peeksy looksy.
Yeah. You know, looksy peeksy, peeksy looksy. Which way should you say it?
I don't know.
Okay. Because I think, so when I think of Cisco, that's the only song I think of. No offense to Cisco, but I think that that's the one that we're looking at for being a sort of top, a Billboard top 100. So the song peaked number one, the Billboard Rhythmic top 40, but number three on the Billboard Hot 100.
Oh.
So did he say number one Billboard top 100? Is that what he
said? Let's see. On his album Unleash the Dragon, the singles Incomplete and Thong Song peaked at numbers 1 and 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Dang, look at him having a song that hit top 100 without me knowing. What's Incomplete? Have I heard this song? I'm sure I have.
I must have, but I don't know. But I know Thong Song from anywhere.
Yeah, I know. Did I have the Thong Song on one of those like, wow, now that's what I call music?
It's possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this could be him. I really do. It's entirely possible. But I have definitely no idea what crab cupcake means or what heart lollipop means.
Okay. All right. Let's think about it. So first of all, just to answer the obviously everyone needs to know about this question, which is the Thong Song was on Now That's What I Call Music, Volume 7.
There we go.
So if anybody's interested in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Including, let's see, Hanson's If Only actually was also on the same album. All right. Shaggy, Dance and Shout. Wow. It's a Masked Singer goldmine. Okay. So let's go back to Cisco and try to match some of the other clues. So do you think Dragon and Lizard, are we sort of tying those two things together? His second album, Return of the Dragon. So Unleash the Dragon and then Return of the Dragon.
Well, they couldn't do Dragon again because Busta Rhymes took that one.
True. So then maybe do you think they were like, well, a lizard's like kind of like a mini dragon.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the family, right? Maybe, potentially.
Yeah. Okay. The ornament clue, Cisco released a holiday book for children titled Cisco's Perfect Christmas. Oh my God, we need to add that with the holiday spectacular.
Oh, wait, Cisco's Perfect Christmas?
Yes.
One of the clues was a lizard on a Christmas, like the balls you put on the tree.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, so we're on the same page. Yeah, so we have Cisco's Perfect Christmas. We have the Beats. What was their show called?
Oh, if you Play want me Aiken. To remember that long ass, I don't know, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we have those two things. Those two things.
I can't wait to watch none of them.
No, I'm not saying that we're going to watch them, but it's now we're doing very holiday. It's all very holiday themed.
Yeah. All right. Conspiracy. The Beats and the Lizard are going to make it to early Christmas night on The Masked Singer, whichever theme night that is.
Yeah, which will be in like May.
Well, I feel like they've done that already, no? Where we had a Christmas theme night, but it wasn't Christmas, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure we've done like that's like happened. That. Yeah, wasn't it around like Halloween or something?
Yeah,
weird?
Or something like that.
Yeah. Also, by the way, it was Ruben and Clay's first annual Christmas Carol family fun pageant spectacular reunion show.
There you go.
So I got to write that down somewhere. All right. What else did we decide? No, nothing with the cupcake. Or what about the lollipop? I'm sure he's got. Oh, my God. He was in Snow Dogs.
OK, why are you so excited about Snow Dogs?
Because you remember Snow Dogs. Did you ever watch Snow Dogs?
No, I didn't watch Snow Dogs.
OK, but so it was the movie with Cuba. It was the movie with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, it's got sled dogs in it, right?
Yeah. And wasn't that the song with the Who Let the Dogs Out? It was for Snow Dogs?
I highly doubt that. I think Who Let the Dogs Out was way older than 2002.
No, I'm not saying that they, I'm saying it was just like the song was in the movie.
The movie has dogs in the title.
Yeah, no, I know.
It'd be a wasted opportunity not to use this song.
Okay, so.
Okay, how old do you think that song? When do you, okay, if you had to guess, what year did Who Let the Dogs Out get released?
1995.
No, later.
Okay, 98.
Later.
When? 2000?
Yeah. 2000? July 2000.
Yeah, okay. So it was in the movie Snow Dogs, but you know, the song's not about dogs. It's about ugly women in the club or something.
Becoming older and finding out what the song meant is a lot. Because as a kid, I remember, because, you know, we'd go to these parties where there's musical chairs, birthday parties, and Who Let the Dogs Out was always in the rotation. So I have very much, that song links me to like many close second place finishes I've had playing musical chairs. And now realizing what the song means, it has tainted those memories.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that for that. It's also like that for, there's a lot of nursery rhymes that you learn as a kid. Like I was talking about this in lab the other day. So Ring Around the Rosie is all about the Black Death. Or at least that's the theory.
It's yes, like ashes,
we all fall down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them that are like that. And like for what little bunny foo foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and popping them on the head. Like that's about like God smiting him, right? Or something.
I don't know. But also, meaning. Doesn't the London Bridge collapse in that other one?
Yeah, the London Bridge is falling down. And then you like all fall down. You're like, and it's like, it's infrastructure collapse.
Destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like that stuff as kids.
There's so much hidden darkness.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Jack and Jill also. So Jack and Jill went up the hill, fetched a pail of water. Jack fell down, broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Jack is actually King Louis, and Jill is his queen, Marie Antoinette, and it's when they get beheaded.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway. Thong song.
The Humpty Dumpty turns into an omelet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Well, a cracked egg.
They don't cook him. But not that I know of. I mean, maybe one of his buddies is like, you got cooked. But not like cooked. And they didn't let him cook because he got cracked. So
let him crack.
Let him crack.
Where were we? Okay. Oh, thong song.
Yeah. So the thong song.
So
back to what really matters.
The lizard has easily the most energy of anybody that was on the stage on the night. Delivered so much razzle dazzle, really great vocals. And I think the smackdown is when the lizard really outdid themselves. Mm-hmm. I think, and this is my feeling, and you let me know what you think, because they couldn't figure out who the lizard was. And then in the smackdown, they're like, okay, I know who this is. And do you think there's a world where the lizard was trying to hide who they were? And then was like, well, I'm not trying to be the first boot. Let me just put it out all out there.
Yeah, maybe. I think also if you're like a really good, okay, let's say you're a really good singer and you're going into the first episode, you're like, all right, there's going to be, as we mentioned, the sacrificial lamb, like one of them's going to go, I'll be okay. So maybe the song choice also, he picked Uptown Girl for his first performance, which I mean, he did great and maybe did a Fortnite dance at some point. I don't really remember, but he could have picked that song as a way to show off a different part of his vocal range, which is why maybe it's not masking per se, but it's just, you're not going to pick a song that's typical for you.
I could see that.
So, yeah. So then when you get to, like you said, now it's like, oh, shoot. Like I'm in the SmackDown. I'm going for it.
All in.
Yeah.
Leaving no stone unturned. Yeah. The lizard's great. I love the lizard. The judges' guesses were a little all over the place, but none of them got here. But then again, they later said they figured it out. So I'm curious next week if any of them are going to say what I said, because if they say Cisco, then I'm going to feel very, very good about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Robin guessed Ray J. Ken was, they were guessing everyone from New Edition, which I loved.
Just they each took one. It was like, choose your starter. And they're like, all right, I pick this one.
Yeah, it also reminded me of when I think Rita Ora last week or 2 weeks ago picked the Stallone. Oh yeah, last week picked the Stallone daughters, like all of them. I mean, she specifically did name one, but I love the catch-all of like, yeah, it's someone from New Edition.
It's like if you say that and it is from New Edition and it's not the one you named, you can still take partial credit.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I agree. But I think Robin, I mean, he was the one who seemed the most confident. So if we see a Cisco guest from him next week, then I feel like we can probably lock that in.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. So then we get to the SmackDown, and they're doing Moving Out by Billy Joel. And initially, Spaghetti's doing a good job. It sounds like a, you know, very similar rendition to the original. And then I feel like the Lizard took it and made it their own. And like the judges said, kind of abandoned the song and was like, I'm going to show you everything I'm capable of because you're not getting rid of me first.
Yep. I totally agree. And it was even from the first note when they started playing his version that I was like, oh, this is different. Like, this is not, this is going to be his like take on the song and sort of personalize it, which is always very cool. But I think I'm ultimately happy with the Lizard staying. But at that moment in time when I was watching this, I did not want either one of them to go. I was like, can we swap with someone from Group A or something? And so we can try to keep these guys longer because I think this is just such a stellar group. I think that they consistently did a really great job, and that includes the SmackDown. Although ultimately at the end of the day, I think the right decision was made and the Lizard should have stayed.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we always talk about sadness. We talk about, you know, bloodbaths. And I think this season might be the most ruthless of them all. Because I feel like next week, one of these three goes, how do we not come in and say they were robbed? You know what I mean? Like, it's everyone's going to be really good and on their A game. And it might all come down to, on for us specifically, a personal feeling of genre as opposed to performance.
Yeah, truly. And we do have a wild card coming into the group. I don't know which wild card we're going to see this week.
I do.
So, oh, who is it?
It is a costume that goes by the name of Sir Lion.
Ah, okay. So, oh, do you think it's Sir Lion or like Sir Lion? Like he lion. Like you lion.
Or is it like a like sirloin?
Ooh, like steak.
Yeah. No, I think it's Sir Lion. I think it's like a knighted lion is my assumption. The other two wild cards that we don't know which group are they're going to fall in are Seal and Koala.
Okay. Oh, cute. Koala. Remember that time when we were at the zoo and we saw the koalas?
Yeah, it's nice pictures.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Good times.
All right. All right. Great oldies.
So then, Liana, the Spaghetti Meatball loses. They have their final guesses. We have Stanley Tucci, Guy Fieri, Gordon Ramsay, and Bobby Flay. And it's none of them. It's Joe Bastianic from MasterChef. Yes.
MasterChef. Yeah. I did take one final swing to try to guess who this was before they got unmasked. So I Googled chefs that started on Wall Street, and I ended up with this guy, Nick Sterlino or something. He was like a chef on PBS, and I was like, I don't know. Like, if I had to lock it in, I'm locking in this bad boy chef Nick. It was not correct at all. But we don't watch MasterChef. So this is like, I feel like another situation like we saw last week where we just don't watch MasterChef, so it's just outside of our orbit and we wouldn't have even known to think of this man.
Right. Like, we wouldn't. That's the thing. The only cooking show that I've ever watched is Hell's Kitchen. So
yeah,
for me, I know it's not Gordon Ramsay. That's all I knew, was this isn't Gordon Ramsay.
Everything else, it's not,
who knows?
Yeah, but it's not Guy Fieri. Come on.
Well, I also didn't think it was Guy Fieri either. Right. You're right.
Yeah. I think good on him. Like, this is, again, when the Masked Singer was originally, the concept arose, the idea of having people who this is not their area of work, like they're a celebrity in something else and they are showing off their singing for better or for worse. Like, that's what they're there for. So I love it when we do see people like Olympians, people like chefs, people who this is not their they're not performers. It's not what they're known for. But then it's always fun to be surprised and have people who are good singers. And it's just really enjoyable. So good on him. I'm really impressed. Good for him.
Good for him. All right, Liana. Now, next week, we have TV theme night. So it's going to be TV theme based. I don't know exactly how that's going to look. But before we get to next week, shall we do our draft? 2 weeks in the making here. Shall we get this going?
Oh, baby. I made my draft board. I'm ready to go.
Perfect. Well, who won last year?
I don't remember.
I'm not even being facetious. Oh. Did I win?
Yes, the cow won.
Oh, yeah. Move out the way, Liana. There's a new winner in town, and it's me. Yeah, I forgot. Because I was like, I know I had Donut and Donut lost. So, but that counts. That both. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the question is, do we usually just go back and forth? We don't do snake draft style.
You're asking.
Yeah, we do back and forth. That's what I remember. All right, Liana. You're my best friend. So I want you to go first.
Oh, you want me to go first? That's so sweet. Okay. I'm going to pick my number one pick off the board. Goldfish.
Oh, okay. You feel that confident about goldfish?
Yes, I feel very confident about goldfish. They were, when I was doing my immediate ranking, I can share with you after, but I essentially tried to pick who I thought was going to be the winner from each group. And I think I felt the most confident that goldfish would be the winner of group A. So I felt like, okay, this is going to be my top pick because I think it's most likely. I think there's an outside chance for ugly sweater, but I think goldfish is the top pick. And she's the normal kind of mask that I would go for, giving me sun, giving me harp energy. So I went with goldfish.
Okay. Love that for you. Congratulations on your acquisition to your team.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with beets.
Okay. That was my number two pick.
Perfect. Yeah. I got a snipe going here. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, we've been sitting here talking about how a group is going to win at some point.
Yeah.
I think the beets could do it. I really do.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're the most safe in group B for me as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, they were my number two pick on the board. I'm going to go back, actually. I'm going to try to get the winner of group A. So I'm going to pick ugly sweater.
Wow. Really, huh?
Yeah,
ugly
because
sweater.
I think they're the only contender for group A. So I'm hoping I can get the winner here.
That's very fair. I think that's extremely fair. Okay, so it's my turn now, and this is a very competitive group, but I do think the one that stood out the most to me is Poodle Moth, so I'm going to go with Poodle Moth.
Yeah, okay. That was my fifth pick on the board.
Your fourth is still there.
I can't hate that. Yeah, my fourth is still here.
Pick them.
All right. Okay.
Oh, or don't.
I don't know. All right, I'm doing it. I'm picking Clock as my fourth pick. Sorry.
That's fine. Clock is fine by me.
Yeah, I love Clock.
I'm going to do what you do, and I'm going to assure myself to get a winner out of this group. I'm going to go Lizard.
Ah, okay. Wait, but I have Clock. That doesn't make sense.
It does, because when Clock goes next week, I have Lizard.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know. I think Clock has got longevity. I will say I'm kind of picking Lizard because I want to have Lizard on my team. But the other part of me is Lizard got the kiss of death when the judges are like, we know who this is. So
I know.
So that should have deterred me from doing it. But also I did it. Actually, maybe I changed. No, I'm not going to change my mind. We're going to firm it. Just please don't pick the person I want next, please.
Okay. Is it Gumball Machine?
It's not Gumball. You can have Gumball all to yourself.
Okay. Yay. All right, then who are you picking?
So I really love this costume, and I really want this costume on my team. Okay. It's Miss Cleocatra.
Ah, yes. Okay, so that would have been... All right, so now... Okay, so we're eight picks in, and I had a very clear top eight. Then, to me, there was a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And now the debate for me is, do I pick one of the wild cards, or do I pick one of Lovebird or Starfish?
Gotcha.
That's really... now the debate for me. And I'm certainly not picking Sir Lion because they're going into the group of death here, if that is now a thing in Massinger. So I'm going to go with an animal we saw at the zoo, koala. I think we saw seals also, but not seal, like seal, but you know.
Yeah. No, that's very fair. I think going wild card off the board here is a good shout, especially because realistically, neither lovebird nor starfish will likely get out of this group.
Yeah.
I mean, they very well could, but I also thought you might take them because then you've monopolized group A and then you have all of group A.
Yeah, I'm diversifying. So
you are
going, yeah. We're diversifying our investments.
Well, don't diversify too much because I'm taking seal.
Ugh, shoot.
Yeah, what do you think? You think I'm not going to take seal with the... Yeah, remember, I've already had a seal on my team in the form of the leopard.
Yeah. All right. So
you sound upset that I took seal.
I think it's a good... No, I mean, that's the obvious... For me, that's the obvious next pick on the board. I guess I'll go with starfish then.
What?
She was I know she's not gonna win, but she was really fun and funny, and she could be okay based on judges being like, yeah, she's fun and funny and quirky and we like her and she's happy to be here, kind of thing. Lovebird was just kind of boring.
Well, you can definitely now safely say that you, Liana, have monopolized group A, unless of course Seal ends up in group A, because with the last pick, I'm taking koala. Sorry, not koala. Sir Lion.
Sir Lion. Okay, so you're willing to risk that. Okay.
Sure. I'm risking it because now I have a 3-in-1 chance of getting the group C winner, and I truly feel like that group could have the winner in it. So as long as Clock doesn't demolish everybody, I will have a shot out of that group.
Right. And technically, based on what we've seen so far, anyone in group C is great. Therefore, Sir Lion gets added to group C.
Right, they're not going to throw fodder in there like that, probably.
Yeah. It's got to be great also, right? That's how.
What are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. I'm actually happy with my team because now I know 100% guaranteed I'm going to have one person in the finale, like in the final three.
I think I feel the same way.
Yeah, but I'm mathematically 100% guaranteed.
No, because we don't know who the wild card is for group A.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to say it right now. If Seal joins group A and I lose group A because Seal is the ultimate winner, I will do something dramatic. I haven't decided what yet, but I will.
What are you going to do?
I will brainstorm something that is dramatic but also safe.
I'm going to sleep on it.
I'm gonna consult my friends to brainstorm ideas.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not gonna light myself on fire, but I would consider it.
So to recap the draft, you got goldfish, ugly sweater, clock, gumball, koala, starfish,
and lovebird.
Yeah, and lovebird, giving you a total of 7 participants.
Let's go, baby.
I got beets, poodle moth, lizard, Miss Cleocatra, seal, and Sir Lion.
Yes.
All right. So you have one more performer than me.
Ah, okay. So then should we split lovebird? I'll take love. You
no, because you need the extra, extra shot.
Dare you.
No, because I won last year. So it makes sense that you get an extra. And then if you win next year, I get the extra.
Okay. All right. Deal.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay. So there's the draft. Okay. So a combination platter here. You have everybody from group A.
If Seal. Okay. That's the thing though. It's like if it's not Seal and Koala ends up in group A. Okay. I'm set.
Yeah. You have everyone in group A. You have Clock from group C and Gumball from group B and a wild card.
That's your team. Yes. Yes. And then you have 2 from C, 2 from B, and 2 wild cards. That's cute. I like that.
Yeah. A little even Stevens there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Liana, that brings us to the end of the podcast here. Let the people know. Oh, my God. First of all. Okay. So real quick. So on the Masked Singer fandom wiki.
Okay.
They have the wild cards put in this order. Sir Lion, Koala, Seal. Sir Lion's group C. So if we follow this logic, Koala's group B and Seal is group A.
No! my nightmare begins.
Oh, we're going to be sitting there with bated breath when the seal is about to perform. Because it can, if it's a banger, that'd be amazing. If it's a dud, it's just funnies at that point.
Oh my gosh. I just got to be like, please be terrible. Like, I'm so sorry to root against you, but just please be terrible.
Well, Liana, this has been a fun pod. Let the people know, where can they find you? What are the projects you have going on?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. The Survivor BNB is going strong for Survivor US. We're having Kendra on as our guest this week from 45. So it's going to be a bucket ball of energy. I can't wait. And then Drag Race also, we're plugging strong, going through episode, I think we're at episode 12 this week. It's wild. It's been such a fun season. I also, if you're a Drag Race fan, I started watching UK versus the World too, and that's also been very, very fun. So recommend all of that, and then the podcasts, of course, as well.
Well, thank you, Liana, for giving us your time. Always a delight here with you. Y'all can, of course, find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting. Stephanie, come through and say hi. I always do appreciate it. I am currently on the heels, brand new season of 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After has premiered. I had Brian Scalley on with me to talk about that, so you can check that out. And aside from that, I've been talking some Big Brother Canada. I was on the recap for the Tuesday night, so you can check that out if you're keeping up with Big Brother Canada. And I know Australian Survivor is over, but Leon and I had the great opportunity to talk about Australian Survivor last week before the finale. You can check that out. That was a very fun podcast with Chappelle and Shannon. Shannon, shout out to you for having us. And yeah, that's about everything we've got going on for y'all here today. We hope you had fun with us. We'll be back next week for TV theme night and to find out if the first wild card is any good. Find it out with us then. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know. Can't see who's under.